What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody, and today we have an extra ridiculous episode. We're going to be talking about what white-on-white crime is. It's a PSA about violence in the white community, and I'm here with Darren Williams, who I actually got the idea to do this episode from, because he posted this thing on Facebook about the Berkeley riots. How you doing, Darren? Can you hear me right now, Darren?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Cool.
Am I coming through?
Oh, now you're coming through.
Okay, cool.
I had not pressed a button because I was trying to make this maneuver with computers and phones and shit, so then it got fucked up. But here you are. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm just a little bit scared. I turned on the news, and I just see white kids rioting in the streets, and I'm worried for my safety. Just wanted to express my concerns.
You're worried for your safety? You think that white people are going to stop making it about other white people?
No, I mean, I've read a couple history books. Saw Braveheart.
You saw Braveheart.
Braveheart kind of. Yeah, it's just been a while. You guys have been just like, I don't actually really think white people, for the record, I don't really think white people are more violent, potentially violent than any other group of people, at least not for genetic reasons. But
maybe not genetic reasons, but I do
not
think...
but if you happen to do a score, a ranking system on catastrophic violence towards fellow man, it's white guys are killing it. Like, you're not winning in basketball. It's not music. It's brutality. You guys are the best
wars.
At it. I'm not even sure if it's something you shouldn't be proud about, but as I watch the Berkeley riots, it's the same thing.
I don't think it's anything to be proud of. I mean, like, I was thinking when I was making this episode, I was like, how do we deal with violence in the white community? What is white-on-white crime? But what about white-on-white crime? All right, well, the Revolutionary War, and then even, like, the fucking Civil War, which, like, you know, people say that it was about slavery, and I believe it should have been, but it
black
wasn't.
Black people didn't start that shit. It's not like we had somebody up in Washington saying, hey, I think you guys should fight. Like,
yeah, exactly.
White guys decided that amongst themselves, the best way to settle that thing was a giant war.
It was about a bunch of white people economics, anyway. And it didn't Abraham Lincoln himself say it was, like, kind of like a fringe issue, or he said some fucked shit?
Oh, well, definitely wasn't about slavery. It was tangentially about slavery, but it was definitely more about economics and just direction of industry.
Yeah, so a lot of wars are just fucking white people.
I'm more like an expert on the black part than the historical part. I just know it sucked. That's really the most important lesson. That's
yeah.
The most important lesson for my side of the end is that wasn't great.
So something there's a lot of discussion about right now is the white girl that got punched in the face at the Berkeley riots, the Antifa girl who got
punched. Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Of course.
Play devil's advocate?
Well, yeah, talk whatever.
What? Because I don't know either of the parties, personally. And, like,
Antifa or alt-right? Like, which one?
Yeah, when you watch the video, I found out later that the guy was a white nationalist punching a liberal white woman in the face. And while I wanted to go, yeah, fuck that guy because he's a white nationalist, the truth is, before he was a white nationalist, he was a white guy. And that white guy could have easily been like an ultra-progressive, anti-establishment communist who's pro-Black Lives Matter punching a what appeared to be a white person for appropriating black dreads.
Exactly,
like,
exactly. That's where I was going to go with that, too.
You guys can hit anybody for anything.
That's really fucking funny. This is being like, oh, she appropriated black culture. Let's beat her in the face. I mean, that's...
Whammo! That's bitch!
I want to make 2 points there. This is actually something I was going to bring up about how, like, a white girl getting punched in the face and she has dreadlocked hair, and that's a whole controversy now. And, like, I feel like, I don't know, I mean, I don't really know because I'm white, but everything I hear is that it's pretty fucked up for white people to get dreads because it's cultural appropriation, and I get that.
I don't have a it's fucked up thing. I just have a why. Why?
Yeah,
of all the things white people could be doing to make things better for us, is it to just copy our hairdos? I guess is that the best way?
Yeah.
There's got to be a bunch of other things you could be doing. And so if those things aren't being done, the last thing I would want to do as a white person is just start copying black people's shit. Like, I'd be too guilty. It's pretty audacious. Now, I don't tell people with dreads, white people with dreads, that they can't have dreads. I just go, you got some balls there. You got some balls. And that's just my feeling about it. I'm not a censor person. I would never tell people what they could do with their own bodies.
Which is also funny. Okay, sorry, you keep going.
No, just that's my opinion. It's just like, man, that's pretty gutsy.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel about it.
I mean, it is pretty gutsy, but it's also fucking hilarious because, like, she's like an Antifa, like anti-fascist, anarchist. Like, I wouldn't actually call most of those people liberal. That's the only thing I was going to say. Like, a lot of liberals do not agree with the punching Nazis things. Like, is that really like the image you want for the movement? And, like, I usually say to those people, what movement? Yeah, exactly. What movement? And I was like, what? I don't know what movement you're a part of, but the movement I'm a part of really doesn't like Nazis and believes in self-defense. That's what I said.
Like, I think people think Trump isn't a part of the equation. Like, it's some type of aberrant happening that we got to fight whatever this new thing is that makes Trump possible. It's the same thing. Like, anybody black could have told you something like this could have happened. Like, nobody should be shocked. So the whole narrative about, oh, we're going to resist. Resist what? The same thing that's being, you know, propagated by everybody's just lack of understanding about what is driving many of the things around us. And a lot of it has to do with just, you know, the thing I see in Berkeley, like, is if you have, like, all right, let's not call them liberals. Let's just call them white kids that go to Berkeley. You have...
I mean, the reason why I pointed that out is because a lot of the people who go to Berkeley weren't even, like, some of those people were not Berkeley people. Like, the girl who got punched in the face drove up from Southern California. That's the only reason why I made that point. Because
I can only make it about race. It's all a lot of whites.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking white anarchist, and I see white liberals and white anarchists just fighting all the time. So it's just a bunch of white people fighting.
I think it's just white people are easily, and I don't like to just say white people as in this full general, I know white people, what's going on with white people, but it appears to me that white people seem to be quicker to see the need for violence to support their agenda than other groups of people. Like, black people in the 60s, when we've always been roughly between 8 to 13% of the population, I think we were like 10% during the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It never occurred to us that the way to get white people to see what we're trying to do is by punching them in the face in the middle of the street. Like, we didn't have any movements called Punch a Whitey. It's just because it wasn't a possible thing to do. And so we had to come up with ways to shape a movement while having a fundamental disadvantage,
mm-hmm.
which has its strengths and weaknesses. But one of the strengths it has is people know what the fuck you're talking about before it comes to punching, because you already know you're outnumbered. So the only way you can even righteously get to a position where you feel good hitting somebody is if you've explored all other possible means to drive your point. And I think with the internet and with Twitter and with dumb college kids, the level of communication between groups of people that don't understand each other is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so from the outside looking in, it just looks like a bunch of idiots throwing punches at each other's faces, which is what it is.
I mean,
except my only thing is, how come that understanding about whiteness is never assigned to whiteness? Like, black people were winning court cases back when it was only illegal for us to read, like, 40 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And white people have run this country for years, and they can't talk about tax reform without burning down collegiate institutions. We're only burning down Walmarts in the hood. Sometimes a Walmart, maybe a Starbucks. That's about it.
But it's mostly white people burning shit down. I mean, like, white people burn churches in the 60s, you know, in the name of the white god or whatever the fuck.
If anybody should be fighting somebody, it's black people should be fighting cops. And we still just try to march, mostly.
I will say that most of the Black Lives Matter protests that I go to, there's a tendency for people to just want to walk in the street to make it very apparent. And then the cops get violent.
We have a culture of non-violence.
But
which is the point I'm getting at.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, so is there violence and is there self-defense? See, that's the thing that I'm like, that's the part where I feel conflicted, you know, where I think of like, see, I'm Jewish and I hear people are like being like Nazis pretty much. It's like really fucking like, what the fuck? Like, that's unacceptable.
It's got a ring to it. I've said punch a Nazi before. Who doesn't want to say that? It sounds amazing.
But it's also like, what's the alternative? Try to explain to Nazis that they're fucking racist, but they literally believe that white people are genetically superior to other people.
But here's my thing. If I use the liberal usage of punch a Nazi the way it's being used, I'd have to probably punch like 95% of the white people I know. And so like, you do have to have like a standard by which Nazi is met.
Well, yeah, the standard is, do you think that white people should have their own fucking country that they run? Do you think white people should run everything? Do you think that white people built everything that's good? That's what those people
fucking
believe.
Yeah, but that's like, okay, but that measurement of Nazism is not what actually makes a Nazi.
Because that
definition makes you very American. The idea that white people know best about the future in which we should direct ourselves is pretty American. And it exists in radical anarchist wings too.
I would say
the phrase punch a Nazi is emblematic of white entitlement and the belief that my might makes right. If I get to a point where I don't have to communicate what I'm saying, I am justified by knowing I am right to commit violence on my enemy. That's a white thought. So punch a Nazi is as white as the guy saying snowflakes need to burn in hell. The same white person with the same,
which is also funny if they're calling it a snowflake.
Manifest destiny.
White.
Yeah. It's just that feeling.
But
that
there's like people in my, so what you said to me about like white people thinking that white people are the best and blah 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 blah, and that how that exists in radical circles. And yeah, it does. But it's like, at least those people, if they were called out on it, they'd either get defensive or freak out or realize it, that they were doing
that. But
that
does nothing for black people.
But I know, of course not. But I'm saying, like, what I'm saying is the difference that, like, these people who are, like, white nationalists and shit, like, think it's something to be proud of. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but they always did.
I'm saying that's the difference there. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't, like, but for an effect on, if you're fighting racism for the purposes of what's good and what's bad, then I guess that's enough. If you're fighting racism for the purposes of creating change and opportunity for black people to advance themselves and finally maintain like spaces of equality, I would argue that you don't really need as many white people feeling bad about the racism as you do white people just understanding what it is. And so for me, the joy that white liberals or white radicals, whatever you want to call them, get out of feeling woke and shaming the non-woke is just a self-gratification thing. And so, no, I don't really care so much about the difference between a white person who thinks that because they're white, they and understand black people's pain, that it behooves them to direct the arc of moral justice. I don't really see a big difference between that white person or the conservative Trumpian who wants to make America great again, because both of those people are operating under a sense of entitlement and generally like this paternalistic, pandering, non-understanding of the like authentic academic and intellectual and cultural value and in many ways superiority of people of color, black people, brown people, Asian people, all the contributors to this cultural fabric are the people that are often seen as like side notes in political rhetoric. And so we're your allies. But when I hear ally, I hear you have me listening to you now. So I'm going to tell people what we're supposed to do. And
yeah.
I didn't see any black people say, let's punch a Nazi. And you can say, because you're Jewish, I didn't see any Jewish organizations start this punch a Nazi thing. I saw a bunch of kids and millennials get real excited about an opportunity to be violent towards each other and create a movement around it that isn't really fixing anything.
Well, a lot of Jewish organizations are more focused on the more like radical Jewish organizations are more focused on getting fixing the fucking Palestine bullshit and making.
Yeah, they're focused on substantive policy driven things that have actual end results. Like it's like the what was the movement? Not the Tea Party movement, the Wall Street movement. What was the name of the group?
Occupy Wall Street.
The Occupy Wall Street. Why did they fail? Because they had no actual thing they wanted. They just liked expressing themselves.
I'm sorry, that's absolute bullshit.
They liked expressing themselves.
I know, but it's not bullshit that people didn't know what they wanted there. That's not true at all.
They didn't have anything substantive that they can go to their policymakers and say, do this, do this, do that.
I think that Occupy wanted something that was so different than the current society that it just didn't work together.
And they helped no one. They helped no one.
That's just not true.
I would argue that punch a Nazi is as constructive. I would love to just go around punching racists. I'm black. Nobody would love that more than me.
I would love to punch people.
But we don't, because I care more about helping people than I do feeling good about the thing I think is right.
But I do want to say about Occupy. Oh, sorry, you were in the middle of something else. Sorry, tell me that.
Forget it. I'm just saying, white people be violent, man. You guys don't have to hurt people to move things if you just learn how to listen better. That's what that Berkeley thing looks like. Looks like people not listening.
I mean, it's probably some of that, and there's also some of this just like thing where I kind of blame religion a little bit also. Because it's like
it's definitely connected, for sure.
Gay marriage shit. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, you don't have to agree. As much as I think, like, I think you're less intelligent if you have a problem with gay people for any reason. It's kind of like, get over yourself. But
you're at least definitely more ignorant. You're definitely more ignorant, for sure.
Yeah. Like, so you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people were like, oh, the Tea Party and Occupy should have worked together. That's what somebody said to me recently. And I'm like, yeah, like, economically speaking, I can understand how you could say that. But the Tea Party is, like, against gay marriage and against abortion and against this and against that. Like, the religious factor makes it incompatible.
And then in the Tea Party, that they're saying, well, we can't work with the Occupy Wall Street because they're pro-gays, pro-atheism, and they're secular and somehow globalist Jews. Right,
globalist so, like, Jews. Oh my god, the globalist Jew thing. We were making fun of that on my show so hardcore last week.
But in the end, we all live here, right? And like, here's the unifying thing: if all of us found out, and I'm not trying to take it to this jingoist war thing, but this is like a common denominator thing. I'm not going to name the country because I don't want to say like, oh, if insert random country that I don't, whose people I don't want to offend, decided that they were going to send a nuclear missile to America. Collectively, all Americans would say we should blow up that country before they do that. And so if we can agree on that, we set aside all our anti-pro-gay thoughts on that. We set aside our Christian, religious, faith-based differences on something like that. Like, we set aside whether global warming is real or not on something like that. We all decide we gotta protect ourselves. That means that humans as a group can prioritize their need. And so if that's the case, that means what did they do that? They dropped their ego. They just thought about what was most important. And so
people need to drop their egos in a big way, at least white people.
So for black people, black people have never needed white people to agree with them in order to get our freedom. There's no moment in history where white people have collectively said, wow, I think we're right. We're going to fix this, guys. We don't really expect you guys to do that. It's not really going to happen. We know a lot of you guys believe it. Going to happen, but we know it's not. And so
that shit's not going to get fixed.
Not going to get fixed that way. It's not going to get fixed by white people lending a helping hand and getting out of the way of black people. That'll never happen. It'll only happen when black people have enough opportunity to create that space for themselves. And that's going to be by having to fight a lot of white opposition, as it always has been about. Mm-hmm. And so this new pop movement where white radicals get to feel amazing about being the good guy is often like just this surface, self-expressive, narcissist, ego-driven need to feel great in the moment so that history doesn't remember you as the bad guy, while history will remember you as the guy that also didn't really do anything to fix the problem. You just were mad for a few years and then got a job.
I don't know. Just I like kind of feel like a lot of white people just need to like accept that they're probably bad in certain ways and then just that's how you get better.
People have to accept themselves as that in certain ways. Everybody has to accept that they fundamentally aren't that important. They really aren't. And like that's the first step. And I think in America, it's harder for white people to do that than others. like black people are raised to not feel like they're shit. So being humble is a little bit easier for us when you never taught really believing yourself in the first place. But we learn, we create cultures that create confidence for that reason. So maybe like if black people like made it hip hop and jazz and all these other things to like instill confidence in ourselves so we can overcome like this oppressive thing. Like white people need to embrace some type of cultural movement that just, you know, teaches them to express more humility. Like, so not to be at the front of the line.
So I want to make a point here. So I have a lot of critique, specifically Occupy Wall Street. I don't want to talk about it very long, but I think I have a lot of critique of Occupy on my own. But I do think that Occupy was created as a reaction to that intense individualism and people like searching for more of a humanist thing. Even if they failed, that's what it was. That's what I think it was. It was like it also.
But it was all done online.
That's not true at all. I was actually there.
Like I walked through for a
while. Okay, I slept there and at multiple different occupations.
Yeah, no, I left as soon as I came. I was like, what? No.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, you don't have to believe me or agree with me necessarily, but I don't think that it's accurate to say that it did nothing because it created a lot of communities that still exist today that work together that did not exist previously. I think it was also motivated by a desire for a community.
I think it created the same communities that are kind of... like, the Republicans have a problem with their community of radicals. The Tea Party turned into the Trump voter. Mm-hmm. And you can argue that the Trump voter won the election, but you can also argue that that's not good long-term for the Republican mm-hmm. Party or conservative politics as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would argue that what we're seeing in the left side of the political spectrum is that we're getting the second generation of Occupy Wall Street.
Or the same people, just older.
Or
now.
The same people that are less rational than their first occurrence. And
it depends on which group you're talking about, because there's a lot of different.
I don't know. I don't name them.
Of this.
I just kind of follow the winds. And a lot of the stuff that's being said online is kind of just inarticulate and not really designed to invite people in to understand where you're coming from, as much as it is to just express how dissatisfied you are. And I'm not a person that gets swayed by emotional like bluster easily, and I think most people who don't agree with
I
you aren't. No, but I think people who don't agree with you aren't. And so if your rhetoric is designed to appeal to emotion and not to the questioning mind, you're not really you're not gaining any allies. You're just kind of getting louder to yourselves. You might be getting people that already agree with you to agree with you more, but you're not moving your generation of humanity in any particular direction other than chaos. So I think people need to drop their egos a bit. The punch of Nazi stuff is just more generational, you know, white craziness.
I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely down with people checking their egos, but maybe, I mean, is it part of my ego that I hear the word Nazi and I want to scream because I'm Jewish? Like, is that really an ego thing, or is that more of like a holy shit, like they tried to kill all my ancestors?
No, because it's a sign that in the internet culture, when we found a new movement of white nationalist, you know, in some ways bigoted, in other ways just
fucked up little white boys,
uninformed. No, also just different people, man. That Trump country, that's a big nation of people. They're not just a bunch of they're not a bunch of Nazis walking around on their farms. Like, that's the reality. The reality is,
if you hate,
most of the
if you
people
hate,
that...
I'm sorry. If you hate Jews, you're a fucking Nazi. I mean, maybe...
But no, no.
Actually. I mean, if
no,
you
you're
hate,
not actually.
Yeah,
you're not a Nazi if you're bigoted towards Jews.
If you're bigoted
you're not a Nazi
towards
if you're bigoted
Jews and you think
Jews.
We should be put in concentration camps and put to death, then yeah, you're a Nazi.
Yeah, but I was just talking about people in the Bible Belt Trump country. And
but
you're now talking...
A lot of those
but you're,
people...
Let me finish. You're talking about people being put in concentration camps.
But a lot of those people
we have not established that.
That
all the people in Trump country want Jews in concentration.
I never said all of them. I said quite a few of them do think that. A lot of quite
but
a few of those
people. But when you use words
like
snowflake and punch a Nazi and bleeding heart libtard and white Hitler, white little Jew, little white boy, like all that stuff is for the person that agrees with you to feel good about it and to repel the person that doesn't really understand where you're coming from. The only thing I'm trying to say is, I have a real issue with most Trump voters. I could tell you most Trump voters couldn't possibly be that informed about politics or their nation's history in regard to the
poor
working person's vote. No, that's a different thing.
Sorry, I'm all pissy.
I could argue that they exist in a conservative, predominantly white culture that doesn't have a lot of diversity. I can't argue that they want to put a bunch of Jews in concentration camps and they like Hitler. I can't do that, and I don't know anything that I don't know any particular study right now that could. And so I don't see the point in calling these special people who in many ways are like, I could argue that maybe they shouldn't be able to pass their genes on because they there's a lot of things they believe in that don't make sense. And now I'm the Nazi. And so I think civility is important when we're trying to get things done.
I'm just saying, if anybody ever threatened or hurt a lot of Jews, even if, like, that's I don't know. To me, that's self-defense.
Can we agree that if we're going to start getting violent, we should ask black people first? Like, if black people don't say, let's start killing people, then nobody else should feel that way.
I don't, like, I'm not going to agree with that completely. I'm just not. Like, in some ways,
I'm going to say it's a very white way to feel. I mean, white on black.
Or a Jewish way.
You're pretty violent. You're pretty violent. Hey, white isn't a genetic thing. It's a cultural assignment, and nobody assigns Jew to people until they yell out, I'm Jewish. You're white when you walk around in New York City.
Do you want to pretend? I look white. Yeah, I am. I am passing white. And if I wanted to not be
a white girl.
No, I know.
You're a Jewish
white
girl.
If I wanted to be not Jewish, I could easily be not Jewish or just tell people that I'm not.
Yeah, you got to claim that.
But what I'm saying is that was not always the case, and that is not the case for everybody. A lot of
people. No, I would argue that we can't say kumbaya. We can't sing kumbaya all the time either.
But I'm trying to make a point that there are people who look Jewish. People would call them Jewish, even if they're not. There are some people who would call Italian people Jewish, or people who are from so what I'm saying is those people exist, and what I'm saying is you can say that, like, I think that, like, yeah, for a lot of things, like, yeah, let's ask black people if we should get violent, but I think in terms of, like, not fucking Nazis, like, I'm sorry, but, like, there is
who
a
are
history
the Nazis
there.
Which ones are the Nazis? Name me a few.
Richard Spencer.
Where has he been elected into office?
He's not elected into office, but he has a following, and he's fucking scary and kind of dangerous.
You know why he has a following? Because some idiot punched him in the face and put it on the
line. No, he had a following before that, dude.
It's not okay if you want to tell me if his following was bigger or smaller or larger.
Oh,
before,
you know,
after he got punched online.
I'm sure it's bigger to now, and I thought
so
of that.
So did that
too.
Punch grow, or did that
me,
punch grow his movement?
There's a part
or
of me that's wondered if the person who punched him in the face was not a real thing, and they planted that. There is a part
that
of
was
me
the
that
first thought I had
that.
When he got punched.
That is part of me wonders that. But regardless, what I'm saying is I think if there are any Nazis in here who start going around looking for Jews and trying to hurt people like that,
you know what weakens movements? Making them look dumb. You don't make anybody look dumb by punching them in the face. The reason black people and the reason we got a black guy in office is we spent the previous 120 years making white people look stupid at every historical landmark. You get us in a court, we have an argument, you look dumb, and you go, okay, fine. And then it moves a little bit forward. Nowhere near as far as it needs to go, but it does move forward. Now, you could argue that the only other fix would be to have, like, a real war, but we don't have the forces for a war. And to be quite frank, nobody really feels like doing that shit. And so I don't think anybody needs white people punching each other for fun over nothing. Punching Richard Spencer didn't hurt racism. It helped it. His Twitter following grew. Making a bunch of blog and think pieces about the fear of Richard Spencer and his growing movement didn't weaken Richard. Richard Spencer's been around for almost 10 years. I've known about him for a better part of a decade. It took one election and some angry white people to make him a cultural icon by just not being able to not talk about him and punch
him. Well, what about Gavin McGinnis?
Same guy, same person.
Well, not actually.
Same
he
thing.
Claims he hates Nazis, but he says that women should be abused, and he sucks. I hate that guy.
Yeah, those are all white nationalist kind of Nazi guys who have grown their base by upsetting white liberals to the point that white liberals grow their brand by talking about them all the time. In which case, people of color are helped none whatsoever. If you really wanted to end Richard Spencer or Gavin McGinnis's career, you pay Ta-Nehisi Coates or anybody black and qualified as much money as possible to challenge them to a debate. They look really dumb and people stop talking about it.
That's but a good idea. White people rather do, get them to debate.
White people, but you got to pay the money. You got to shut up, white people. You really want to be white and help black people, get your white resources and assets together to promote black identity politics and academia, and just say nothing. And that you would do the same thing for Spanish people and gay people and trans people. I would probably have to talk to some of the trans people myself. I've been promoted on the other side.
Yes, you definitely do.
But I have some questions. I have questions.
You have a lot of questions, and you got a lot of listening on that issue.
I'm pro with questions, but I would listen. But that is the way. That's the way you get, and that's my point. I wouldn't yell. I wouldn't. And the only reason that transgender people know I'm not bigoted is because I make it very clear that I'm not, by not using language that makes it sound like I have an emotional disagreement towards them as a person. And so I don't have a punch a Nazi phrase for my questions about transgender stuff, because there's no reason for that. I could just ask my questions and be respectful.
But I'm not going to ask white nationalists.
I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot.
Okay.
That way.
But I want to say, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Just want to throw that out there. And I'm here with Darren Williams, and this is our episode, How Do We Deal with Violence in the White Community? And PSA is also PSA on white-on-white crime.
Humble yourself.
Humble yourselves. Okay. But, I mean, but do you think that, like, comparing you talking to trans folks and comparing people talking to white nationalists, I feel like that's quite different.
Those, it's not different at all.
That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit.
Give me one sec. Give me one opportunity. I'll give you an opportunity to yell at me if you give me one opportunity.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm telling you that's bullshit. Because trans people
are not
united.
As long as I get an opportunity to say why it's the same.
As long as I get to say why it's different, I'm going to say it. Because what the difference, because white nationalists are united under the fucking thing of, like, let's get fucking rid of everybody who's not white and have our own fucking nation and have white pride and shit. And transgender people are not about that. It's not the same thing. It's not about killing people or getting rid of people.
Okay. Can I say why it is the same thing?
Of course.
It is the same thing, because what unites us all as humans is the ability to believe in what we think matters in spite of the facts, because as humans, we all are born with an innate ability to believe in things because that's the way we think they're supposed to be. We all are like that. And so whether my belief says that humanity is all equal and we should all love each other and be appreciative of our differences and work together to better mankind, another person could say the Jews are devils and blacks are cursed by God and we should kill them all. And the only way for anybody to prove their point, whether it's pro-Jews are the devil and blacks should die, or we're all the same and we love each other, is to be able to articulate a point in a way that the opposition, not someone that can kind of understand you, someone that totally isn't coming from where you're coming from, they have to be able to talk to you. You talk to them, and your side be clearly the right one. And if you don't have an ability to articulate that message, you are a person operating in a sense of faith, because you haven't done the work to prove your position. And because we're allowing liberals in bubbles to feel right when they're unqualified to even be expressing themselves.
What are you talking about in terms of transgender stuff?
Okay, with transgender stuff.
Is that what you're talking about?
There's stuff about the transgender movement that if you ask the right questions, they don't have answers to. And instead of saying, well, who cares? There's no answer to that. They get to call you a bigot for having the question. In which case, nobody who had the question in the first place learned a thing other than the fact that you'll get called a bigot if you ask a question.
What are some of those questions?
I'm not in a space where I'd like to talk about that right now, just because I didn't prepare it and I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm also humble enough to know that, you know, unless I put some thought towards something, I wouldn't want to talk about other people's experiences in a way that marginalizes them or just is with a complete lack of understanding. But what I would like to do is speak to someone who's transgender about it, you know, one day.
But soon. I'm still trying to figure out how you can compare the two to white nationalists, because it's very different.
Burdened to explain ourselves. No, we're all burdened to explain ourselves. If you create a world where people can believe what they want because they think it's right, anybody that thinks something's right can believe what they want.
Yeah, but transgender people are not saying that we should get rid of everybody who's not trans and have a fucking nation about that.
The precedence exists for a reason. The rule is the rule if it's the rule. If I don't have to make what I believe true to someone who doesn't believe it, nobody does. And I do think that that's important for people to remember.
Wait,
about
can
everything.
Repeat that. I'm sorry.
If I don't have the ability, if I have no burden to convince somebody else of what I believe to be true, and I just think I can believe it in spite of whatever anybody else says, then that's the truth for everybody.
Believing that, and then there's acting on that. So what I'm saying is, like, the difference is that a lot of these white nationalists probably are going to try and go kill people who are not white and do.
They're all human, though. We all they're not like different species of
but
people.
But that's the difference between trans people and white nationalists. I don't even understand the
trans people aren't
to make
people
here.
That could trans people aren't people that if in a position of power could be violent against others that don't respect their views.
Yes, but historically speaking, white nationalists have been a problem, right? That's what the Nazis called themselves, pretty much. Aryan
only out of a matter of opportunity and advantage. I'm a principle. The principle still is true. The principle is that if you believe something, you can believe it without having to prove it.
Sure.
And once,
sure,
and once
but that's
you
still
and,
not the fucking basis of the transgender movement or people. The white nationalist movement is not just a kind of person. It's a movement. It's a movement of let's fucking like get rid of people who aren't white. Do you see the difference here?
I think gender is a fallacy, and I don't think anybody is biologically assigned to any particular gender.
I think
white nationalists is a form of identity. I think it's an identity politic.
I would disagree. I'd say that they're a fucking hate group, and I think trans people are not a hate group.
No, a hate group is like the United Front against Jews and N-words. But white nationalist is an identity. And so
not really. They're like a cover
it's
term
not,
for that shit. They're a cover term for that shit. It's a
they identify
name. It's a political
they identify with the okay, go ahead.
It's a political term to like cover it. It's supposed
based
to sound
on,
nicer. It's supposed to sound nicer.
But it's based on white a certain group of white people identifying with what they perceive to be signs of cultural and ethnic
Superiority
in whites. That's an identity thing.
Yeah, I still think that that's like not, you can't really compare that to trans people. It's not the same thing.
It's the same thing for me because if a white guy tells me he's superior to black people, I'm like, okay, prove it.
Okay,
so,
but where
it,
are trans
so,
folks saying
and,
anything like that, even remotely like that? They're saying that they're, that it's not even, it's it, how do you compare it? That's trans
I would
people.
Never say a trans, I would never say a trans person is not a person or a trans or
Yes, that's not the point. That's not the point. White nationalists, it's like a fucking political party. It's not like a person. Trans people are just people. It's not like a fucking group, like a belief.
So hold on. I'm not saying that a person that's a white nationalist because they have an identity, that now that identity must therefore be protected by the state. What I'm saying is it's a form of identity. And the determination of whether it is protected by the state comes from people who think white nationalism is bullshit, going to white nationalists, okay, talk to me about why your thing is real to me. And the white nationalist saying a bunch of dumb shit that's racist and bigoted and not in any way connected to the reality or objective facts, and the rest of the public going, that's bullshit, we're not protecting the rights of white nationalists.
But
and
what
so
about the people,
can-
what about the, I mean, I know you don't like to hear this, like sad little white boys, but what about this little sad white boys in their room who want to complain about how they can't get affirmative action and all this shit and like will follow those people?
They're trying. They are trying to gain rights for what they believe is a identity that needs to be protected in the state. That is on a political level, no different than what the mission is for trans people.
Okay,
I'm not saying that.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's an identity trying to get rights from the state. All right, I hear what you're saying. But to me, a white nationalist trying to get rights from the state is a very, very, very dangerous thing compared to trans.
I would say the trans person deserves their rights and the white nationalist does not. But what I would also say to the trans person is that as a person that agrees with your mission objective, but a person that has questions about the thing you're talking about, I am convinced that the way you're talking about your thing isn't necessarily geared towards helping people give you the rights or support you in pursuing the rights you want.
You mean the bigots? Overly... It's not going to convince the
not
bigots.
Not the bigots.
I
call them the bigots.
I think that anybody who's kind
and so if by your definition 65% of the nation are bigots, and but those are the people you need to vote for you to support your policies, what good is calling them the bigots?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like,
I was a bigot a month ago. I was a bigot. I was called a bigot not a month ago. I had no negative feelings towards the trans movement until I saw how they treat people with questions. And I'm like, okay, I have negative feelings towards that. Because that's just not believing you have to answer any questions about anything.
I mean, I think...
When as a black person, I know we always had to do that. And we're the next Native Americans, the most marginalized.
Well, so you we shouldn't have had to do that. That's the thing.
Well, we can moralize it as much as we want, but
what I'm saying. Like, to moralize it, like, I'm not sure if it's moral to make people explain their identity all the time. Do you know what
I'm saying? It's not, but moralism is an objective thing. It's a subjective thing. Everybody has different morals, unless you believe there's, like, one God who's really actually, like, making sure black people are slaves for 400 years and white people aren't. The truth is, like, justice is shaped by the people.
And some fucking morals... are people thinking that all the Jews and all the people who aren't fucking pure white Anglo-Saxon should die? There are people
and
who believe that. That is their
and
moral.
So the people who don't believe that for the safety and health of the nation, the people who don't believe that have to at every moment be ready and equipped to
make them look stupid.
Face that opposition, but not always through violence, because that's rarely the easiest. That's one, the harder way to get things done, and it's the least probable. Because... You don't know how white people will side on the pro black people, pro white people war thing. You don't. And I think a lot of white liberals believe in yay were about other groups of people out of convenience, but I've never been in a situation where they have to really choose. And you know, I just think before jumping to the violence rhetoric, we could just kind of talk amongst ourselves and figure out who's dumb first. Like, instead of like protesting and throwing rocks at somebody because a school wants to invite a racist to talk about their thing, should probably figure out a way to make sure that racist has to speak to a person that's qualified to highlight how dumb they are and put it on TV for everybody to see.
Or also,
why are these...
Sorry, another point is if you're worried about these people gaining power, why not try to build resources outside of the system? Because I'm not sure if the system's going to work for a lot of the people I care about longer.
You can do that too, but they're throwing rocks before they even bother to get a person to debate the guy on stage. And so before you say the system doesn't work, how about work the system? Because outside the system is throwing rocks and holding fight clubs in the middle.
I think it's more than just that or that. I mean, just because. I mean, I'm only speaking on the experience of living on a commune and seeing people do things. Obviously, it's a micro within a macro capitalist world, but like, or a capitalist country. But I've seen people behave differently. Do you know what I mean? I've seen people building alternative structures and people having their own stuff that.
Over the course of hundreds of years, I suspect that this nation will. Destroy itself well before we alter the culture that it's been forming for the past like hundreds of years. It is what it is. This is the nation you live in. You want to move to a banned society somewhere in South America where everything's egalitarian and the women are treated equally, you could do that. But if you're trying to live in the United States of America, people are going to kind of behave within the spectrum of that culture's
definition. And our culture is pretty fucked up.
That's subjective. It's fucked up in some ways, and it's actually beautiful in others.
I mean, of course it's beautiful in others, but some of the things, something, you know, you talk about in terms of arguments, not getting too much emotion in there. And I hear that in terms of arguments. Like, I really hear what you're saying about trying to get the people who don't agree or the people who I would call bigots, a lot of them, to understand certain things. But to me, I feel like...
There's a lot of reformed bigots.
Yeah, there are. That's true. I know a lot of people who used to be fucking, like, you know, militant Christians and, like, who, like, hated gay people, and now, you know, they're polyamorous and this and that, you know what I mean? And they're over their shit. But what I want to say...
I got over some bigotries.
But I do want to say that I think that we do have a culture of anti-emotion. I do think that we have a culture where a lot of people are expected to be very hard or very, well, some people would call masculine. a lot, and it's not, I don't know if it's necessarily healthy for everybody to have to be that way. I feel like the, just the way our job structures are set up are very anti-emotion. You know, this like
I don't think there should be a lack of emotion. I just think everything has its space and does its thing the right way in its space.
Yeah, and I think that
Nina Simone was really emotional, and she was super effective in her space.
She was an artist.
Okay, and that's an important aspect of human culture. Now, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X weren't that emotional. We remember them for being able to capture an emotion and represent our emotions a certain way. But as men and as people, they were pretty pragmatic and had like really, you know, cold strategies about what works and what doesn't. Same thing for a lot of women in the suffragette movement. And,
who were,
you know,
also kind of racist.
But the racism aside, being effective was about isolating your emotion and figuring out what works and what doesn't.
I always want that history to be there, but people don't acknowledge that. A lot of white women do not acknowledge that.
No, they were super racist. Super racist. But that's also fun to say. It's also fun to, like, just, you know, anytime a white feminist is being proud about her shit, you're like, yeah, whatever, you guys used to be racist, and then she shuts up. And it's good, it feels good, but it doesn't really help anything.
Well, it does, it maybe doesn't help, but it does say, it, like, specifically with the Women's March, like, it needed to be pointed out, and people didn't really do anything about it, which is kind of, like, what was fucking, like, obnoxious about it, but, like, you know, to call out, so people can learn from history like that and see it now.
I guess, but I just don't think that the time it's going to take to convince a white feminist of how racist our movement has been for hundreds of years and finally do something good for black people, the time I could have spent doing that, I could have just spent, you know, getting black people who already understand this shit together to agree on some mutually agreed upon things that need to be worked on. And that includes giving more voices to black women within these black spaces. I think that would happen before you get collectively women as a whole to open up spaces for women of color.
Okay.
So for me, rather than depressing the women, like, let women rep the women part. And if I like, rather than just trying to convince white feminists to be better at their anti-racism, how about they just get better at their feminism, you know?
Yeah, for real.
So it's just, I don't know. It seems everybody's taking the easy road, which is to shit on other people and not, like, actually just figure out what they can do to make things better. Like, and I don't know if punch a Nazi, marching in the streets, like, Read. How about you read a book about some stuff and then, you know, vote accordingly and then say nothing.
I mean, I, like, read what, a lot what about is, protest, but I don't know if it all works. Who knows? Who knows?
Black people only protest because we didn't have anything else to do. Really. You win some court cases, nobody listens, and you march about it. But white people have voting on their side. Anything they want, they can get. Like, people, like, even the trans stuff, you know, people get mad at me sometimes because I don't get everything. And I'm like, listen, even if I was anti-trans, which I'm not, but even if I was, I'm a black voter. I have literally no power in this country. If white people decide trans is a thing and it needs to be fixed and then they're going to do whatever they want about it, it's going to get done. And all signs point to that happening.
That's a good segue to this thing where I was but before I came, I wrote all these lists of, like, when does white on white violence happen? And I was like, when white people can't get exactly what they want, exactly when they want it.
Yeah.
When they've committed violence to literally every other kind of person before doing so. When the world they've created fails. When a beetle dies. When they lose a sports game. When the store is out of almond milk.
Violence. And it's not, again, it's not because white man's devil. I'm not saying you guys are evil experiments from Jacob from the Caucasus Mountains who have been wreaked upon Earth to cause havoc for mankind. Some black people think that. That's a black Israelite thing. I know a couple of them. That's their thoughts. But
I mean, I wouldn't actually be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if white people had, like, a genetic mutation.
I don't think
violent.
That. They're just people. People are people.
I mean,
people all have, like,
I wouldn't
a high
be
degree
shocked
for violence.
Growing up around lots of white people, personally, I would not be shocked if we had some
nope.
weird fucking deficiency. But that's just my thought.
Also, like, I don't know. Yeah, that's not related. I actually went on a date with a white girl recently, and she's a spoken word poet,
mm-hmm.
and she's been like writing poetry about race and stuff, and she should stop doing that. That's this. I've been wanting to say that for a while. I don't know if she's listening. She stopped talking writing about race, like race.
But I mean, do you think? But see, something I read a really good article about, like, how white people can make art about race that's not about people of color suffering, where it's more about like what, like fucking like white fucking oppression.
Like, it's about how they feel. It's about looking at their capacity for feeling.
Or to fucking like, wait, what do you mean?
It's just everybody. It feels good to feel good, and so like it's like one of those things where it's like, if you ask a person who volunteers a lot whether they do it because they want to help kids or they do it because it feels good to volunteer, they can't really tell you. And the difference between them and a kid who's poor is the kid's doing it because he needs to survive, and the other person's doing it because he wants to help. And you can make people feel bad for wanting to help, but you kind of feel like a dick about it. But
I mean,
at the same
people
time,
should help, though, right? Like, that's the
alternative they should help.
To the violence.
Like, the alternative to a white girl writing about poetry about race and trying to learn about it is, like, a white girl, like, talking about how black people are ugly or something. And so, like, in the end, it's like, we also can't just always just make white people feel like shit. Like, it feels, and I'm telling you from experience, it feels amazing to do. But, like, constructively, like, you can't just get your movement to work by just making people feel like shit.
I mean,
so the stuff I'm saying to like white people about punching is the same thing I've been trying to tell myself about, just not always trying to antagonize people because I know the truth and they don't. It's because the point I'm at, the reason I'm mad is they don't. And so like, unless I have the patience to get them to understand it, you know, maybe I just shouldn't say anything.
I mean, but do you think that white people could make art about trying to confront their role in white privilege and racism?
And if they, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, probably not. But the real question is, what do I get out of making them feel bad about something they're not going to get in the end in the first place? And if it's just this short term gratification of making them feel bad, where could I have better directed my energies?
Mm-hmm.
And those might be the things that don't make me feel as like grandiose, because they're kind of just quiet things where I just work with myself and others to like produce things that are, take long time, and I can't just post about them every day, but they're probably more substantively beneficial for the people I'm trying to help in the first place. So I just feel like there's a lot of things we could all be doing to get stuff we want done other than yelling at each other online and punching each other in the streets.
Definitely. I hear that. I hear that. I mean, those are things that are happening, but like, again, like I said, I'd much rather be building resources outside the system, because I think this one.
And I'm not against punching people in the streets. I'm just literally saying, the people punching each other in the streets right now could not possibly know enough about the things they're punching about in order to be deciding that it's time to start punching. That's all.
That might be true. I'm not, but I do want to say we got like maybe like 8 minutes left, and there's something that I thought this was going to be a way funnier episode, but I'm very happy with the way it went. I think it was really good, but I have a thing I want to say here. So like, I was trying to come up with like a name for the Berkeley riot people, or like girls, like the girl who got punched in the face. And I want to say, like, I think that it's important to have the discussion about the dreadlocks and stuff, but she's like getting doxxed and shit and getting death threats and shit. I don't think she deserves that. You know what I'm
she's
saying?
She's getting death threats for the dreadlocks?
No, but for being an Antifa. But she's getting death threats, and a lot of people want to help her and shit. And people are saying like, oh, you know, but she has dreadlocks and she's a cultural appropriator. So that, and that's like the main discussion happening. And people are like, but she's getting doxxed. Like, who cares if she has dreads? And so it gets complicated there. But I also think that it's kind of ridiculous that she's getting a bunch of donations because she looks fine now. Like, she's fine. But I think medically, she's fine. I think it's important now.
I mean, I used to box. She didn't get full contact. I'm sure she has like a little bit of sore
lip. She's fine.
Yeah, it was more principally just don't hit ladies.
I mean, but the donation she's getting, but that's also weird too. There's some weird shit there. There's a lot.
She's making a lot of money. She just kicked up off that punch.
Yeah, and I feel very conflicted about that. Like, I understand now the fact that she's getting doxxed means she probably needs money for protection, and I'm down with that part. But it's like, yo, like, this white chick now the face of the Antifa, this white chick with dreads is the face of the Antifa movement. And like, I'm an anarchist and shit, but like, the truth is, like, a lot of that movement and a lot of the groups of that movement that I like don't really talk to that much, like, are just like a bunch of like white dudes with dreads. That's a lot of people.
Nobody
in that
got
movement.
Nobody crowdsourced the civil rights movement. Like, all those people that got dogs biting on them and got fire hose in the face, Like, nobody came in and chipped in a bunch of millions of dollars.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, I feel like weird about it. Like, it's kind of like, but I want to say.
That, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like, you know, let's protect her. Let's not get her fucking like killed by the alt-right. Could that be terrible? Because she's just.
Well, maybe she'll use that money for things that for something that's like, if she really only got punched in the face, if she's really an ally. Let's see what she does with the money.
Yeah, for
real. Before we before we jump on her, let's like she's already wearing dreads. Like she could make this worse or better for herself.
She could make this worse or better. Now she's doing a bunch of interviews. So now to some white girl, I gotta say that let's see what she does. But white girl with dreads like, facing the anti-fob
she's
movement.
She's gonna catch me outside with her dreads. She could be the new catch me outside girl. Like punch me outside.
What the fuck?
She's gonna be making money. She's got a reality television
show. Oh yeah. Okay, but I gotta say, so we got like 6 minutes, but I wanna say the term I came up with for these people like that, is avocado eaters, because they're like claiming to be like into exotic, like holistic medicines and even eating avocados from the border, but only fruit can enter, not people. Like that's what I wanna call like white people punching each other, avocado eaters.
I've been trying to come up with words for white people and none of them stick. It's very hard. It's very hard. Like I've been going for pastel. But it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very hard. I can't figure it out. I think avocado sounds pretty good. It just sounds like an epithet.
What?
It's good. It's an epithet. I know it's good because I feel guilty saying it already.
Avocado eater.
Like, okay, look. it's a good word. It's a good word if you can say motherfucking before it.
Motherfucking. Avocado eater. Yeah. So what I say. Although some people might think we're talking about people from Mexico, which is the fucked up part.
See that? Yeah.
That's the problem with it. But that's not what we're talking about.
Asparaguses. You gotta call them asparagus.
Asparagus eaters, because their pee smells. Anyway.
Fucking Brussels sprouts.
We got like 3 minutes, and I want to say though. Okay, so you've been listening to What Would Save the World. I'm here with Darren Williams. You can follow me on Twitter. That's the number 2, like the symbol KEDALOW, or you can email me at TOOK at RadioForBrooklyn.com. Would love to have you on the show if you want to be on it. Darren, you got anything you got to pitch? Because I want to just close out real quick.
Yep. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Darren is a comic, DARREN. And Saturday night at 8 p.m., I'm going to be at the Karma Lounge for a comedy show.
Check that
and
out.
Then 10 p.m. that same night, I will be at Creek and the Cave in Long Island City.
Okay, cool. So I'm gonna close out. You've been listening to What Would Save the World. How do we deal with white on white crime? And I had all these lists because I thought it was gonna be funnier, and it went really good. And there's a bunch of important shit you should have gathered from this episode. But I want to say how to avoid.
Nothing white funny about white on white crime, Took.
What?
It's nothing funny about white on white crime.
There's nothing funny about white on white crime. It's a serious.
It's an
problem.
Epidemic.
It's an epidemic. Don't disagree. The way you avoid white on white crime is you don't disagree specifically with the person, unless you're afraid of passive aggressive white people violence. That specifically goes for college age white males, or and females too, but girls all the time, women all the time. The passive aggressiveness is
girls
prevalent.
Don't watch the girls.
The girls.
Girls watch girls.
Yeah, yep. Watch girls if you want to understand the very, very specific white lady passive aggression.
Yeah. Terrifying.
And if you want to avoid it, you know, just offer avocados or cocaine, but be careful to disagree, not to disagree on the cocaine, because then it just gets worse.
Facts.
Yeah. And you gotta have you gotta hook up the white women to kombucha IVs. That's what I keep thinking about, is like white ladies hooked up to kombucha and like mate and all these fucking teas and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
You gotta have your kombucha tea, your lemon ginger kombucha tea.
You know like those like I don't even know like kombucha lucha. That's what that makes, you know, it's that fucking movie, the lucha, the fucking wrestling. You know what I'm
okay, you're talking luchadores.
What?
I'm talking about these herbal teas these white girls drink. I don't know.
No, that's what you were talking about. But then I said kombucha lucha, which reminds me. It's like
yeah,
lucha.
That sounds too spicy. That sounds too spicy.
Yeah, I don't know. We got like another second, another minute or two. Or no, I got like another minute. Anyway, yeah, white on white violence is a huge problem. What about white on white crime? What about white on white violence? We got to start that. Every time this shit happens, we got to just start saying it.
Very violent people. It's just, you guys got to behave.
Oh, behave. Okay, so coming up next, you're going to be listening to, if this is a Brooklyn Bandstand, plays every Wednesday at 4 with Tom Tenney. I also host Brooklyn Bandstand on Mondays at 4. If you're listening to the morning version at the 8 a.m. on Thursday, I actually don't know what comes on next. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you.